Alex, let's talk a little bit about these planes that hit the towers, whatever may have hit the Pentagon, and of course crashed into that field in Pennsylvania. The towers, what do you think hit the towers? Who do you think was in them?
Well, George, again, it takes 3 hours in my new film, Martial Law, to cover all of this, and we detail it all at PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com. But what I do is the same thing that David Ray Griffin does. The official story from end to end is a complete fraud. I started out on 9/11, and of course 2 months before, looking at what they claimed happened. Then I looked at the evidence, and I took my time, years, to come up in an investigation with specifics that we can prove. And I do believe planes hit the towers. I believe that.
Well, we saw that. Something.
Yes. Yes, I believe that it's a disinformation campaign to say that they didn't, and we know the government is putting a lot of money out in disinformation on the web. That's public, billions of dollars in fake news. So I avoid that. What I focus in on is all of the evidence. And we know that the supposed, well first off, earlier, Mr. Levine was mentioning people being blocked. I interviewed David Shippers a week after 9/11, the chief impeachment lawyer. He later got up in front with FBI agent Robert Wright and others on the National Press Club and said, here's the national security letters. We've been threatened with arrest. This video clip, by the way, is on the website. And every exhibit is. And he said, all we can tell you is the Bushes vacation with the Bin Ladens. He and, of course, the head of Judicial Watch, Larry Klayman, it was Larry Klayman that said that, Robert Wright. All we can say is the Bushes vacation with the Bin Ladens. Now, that was the head of Judicial Watch there with Robert Wright crying, holding the letter saying, I'll be arrested if I tell you what I know. A 6-foot-4 man breaking down, hugging the lectern, with Larry Klayman patting him on the back, going, we can't tell you, we'll be arrested. Well, before they got threatened with arrest, I interviewed these individuals. And Bush signed W199I. The BBC Newsnight led with it. Just type W199I in. And Bush, months before 9/11, ordered the FBI and CIA under threat of national security arrest not to stop Al-Qaeda in this country. So now, fast forwarding, we know that the supposed hijackers were trained at the Pensacola Naval Air Station, MSNBC, Pensacola News Journal. We know that they were trained at that base. Then they went and created a history, classic black op operation. They were the decoys. They went to flight schools, couldn't even get Cessnas off the ground. Then magically did maneuvers that no pilot, I mean, I've interviewed many airline pilots, fighter jet pilots, no one can do this, especially, you know, three times out of four. And what we know is they had their houses, their cars, their credit cards paid for by the CIA and FBI. When they would leave the country to an Al-Qaeda summit in Malaysia, I've interviewed the people that were at the different consulates. They were ordered, let them in. This is part of an anti-terrorism training drill. FBI informants were living in their houses with them in San Francisco and in Florida, both ends of the country. We know they, in the weeks before 9/11, were on American and United flights. The famous actor, Mr. Woods, James Woods, he went on Fox News days after 9/11 and said, yeah, I'm on the plane flying from New York to L.A. We stop in Phoenix, but before we land, these guys are getting up, acting like they're going to hijack the plane, doing weird stuff. I get off the plane and I say, these guys are about to hijack. One of them was admittedly Muhammad Atta. And the FBI holds him and says, national security, you ought to get James Woods on, national security, you'll be arrested if you talk about this. So what we know is there were drills that morning of flying jets into the very buildings that got hit. We know NORAD kept asking, is this a drill? FAA, is this a drill? We know Dick Cheney's in control of the drills from the bunker under the White House. That's admitted. That's come out in testimony. And he said the order still stands and yelled at an aide when the aide kept saying, do something, do something. So we know all this is going on. They're on board the aircraft, and then these aircraft fly around for an hour and 25 minutes knowing they've, quote, been hijacked. Nothing's done where any other pilot will tell you, you're off course 5 minutes, they'll launch F-16s on you. My dad's a pilot. I mean, this happens hundreds and hundreds of times over the years.
But are you saying, Alex, that these people who you say were under the control of, let's say, the CIA, that they willingly committed suicide?
No, they believed that they were part of a drill. they were on board the aircraft taking part in yet another live-action drill where they were decoys and where they tested airport security.
All right, but who then, on that plane that they were on, who rammed those two planes into the two towers?
Well, for 40 years they've been remote-controlling aircraft, and from my internal Pentagon sources that have always turned out to be accurate, I'm on record over and over again reporting things, then it comes out mainstream news, something was released in the plane, knocking them out, and then the planes were taken over by remote control and flown into the buildings. But we know they were government operatives. We know they were trained at U.S. military bases. We know they were protected and funded. We know they were having the drills. We know all of this. It's like police in a murder investigation. They catch the guy with the bloody butcher knife. They find the dead body buried on his property. The woman's skin is under his fingernails. And then do we know all the specifics of did he stab her before he raped her, or did he rape her and then did he stab her? All the little tiny minute specifics. Then we have a classic intelligence operation with all of these other cover stories and confusion and other dummies mixed into it where it's this swirling mess. And interestingly enough, George, the official U.S. government plan to carry out a 9/11 style attack, Operation Northwood.
Why, that's true. That is a real document. Now, Alex, let me ask the other three if they believe that this was possible. Peter Lantz, do you?
First of all, you've let this guy run on and on and on, and he says things like, we know they were trained at a base in Pensacola. That is absolutely absurd. First of all, what it does is it totally underestimates the effectiveness of Al-Qaeda. It doesn't allow for the fact that bin Laden put a cell in New York City as early as 1989, that he funded the first original World Trade Center bombing operation, that the FBI failed to identify the cell, screwed up, failed to prevent the first bombing. They ignored the evidence from Manila of the plane hijacking plot in 1994. Massive amounts of culpability by the FBI and the Justice Department. And when you come up with these wild cases and you have a guy like Alex with great authority, we know this, we know that, it's wrong. He said they had an FBI operative living with them in San Francisco. That's totally wrong. There was an FBI asset in San Diego with Al-Midar and Al-Hazmi. And there are all kinds of, my book cover up, half the book points goes over the same ground that he talked about, the war games, etc. Let me just give you, if I may, my scenario, okay? If you don't mind, we've heard these outlandish allegations tonight, and the problem is they undercut the ability of the American people to get to the real truth. Because ultimately, what's the solution, Alex? How do we get rid of the shadow government? You know, let's say we impeach Bush and Cheney. How do we get rid of this shadow government? George, let me just thoughtfully, if I may, have 2 minutes to...
Of course, Peter, of course. I mean, the reason why you four are on this program is to give your dialogue and your views. I don't expect you guys to agree with each other.
All right, thank you. Here's what I believe happened. I believe that bin Laden, the Al-Qaeda, has been an incredibly lethal force. My new book, and by the way, if people can go to, everybody mentions their website, peterlance.com, my name, L-A-N-C-E. I have a timeline under the word terrorism that goes back to 1989. It shows that three of the men who did the World Trade Center bombing, one who killed Rabbi Nasser, one who did the bridge and tunnel plot with Blind Sheikh Rahman, were all being trained in 1989 by a guy named Ali Mohammed. Ali Mohammed is the enigma and the black hole of the entire 9/11 story, and that's what I'm doing my new book on. This guy literally was working for the CIA in the mid-80s and may have always been working for the CIA. He later worked as an FBI informant as early as 1993. He was in Somalia when the Blackhawks went down. He defected to America, became a U.S. citizen, married a woman in Silicon Valley, became a U.S. Army sergeant, got posted to Fort Bragg where the Green Berets and Delta Force train, and is coming up on weekends to train the first World Trade Center bombing cell, an Al-Qaeda cell, for bin Laden. He then moves bin Laden out of Afghanistan in 91, it trains his personal bodyguard in coast Afghanistan, moves him back in 96, and personally scouts the African embassies for bin Laden, takes the pictures in 94 where bin Laden says, put the bomb, 234 killed, 5,000 injured in 1998, 9 years after the FBI had him on their radar. Now, does all that negligence on the part of the Justice Department and incompetence, and what I document in my books is cover your you-know-what.
Mm-hmm.
They screwed up in 92. They didn't want to admit that Ramzi Youssef was the architect of 9/11 in Manila in 94. They didn't want to admit that Youssef and Khalid Sheikh were involved in the crash of TWA 800. And it's all covering up.